good morning, everybody. Well, thank you, Shelley. All right. Hey, so we're continuing a series this week called Celebrate. And so if you're a guest with us this morning, we don't have any real fetishes with balloons. It's all kind of thematic. And if balloons creep you out, just wait till next week. We're going to bring out clowns. I'm just kidding. I'm absolutely kidding. Hey, so the whole idea of this series, it's twofold. And so the first part of it, the first idea is that we have this thing every year called a birthday, right? Doesn't everybody have a birthday every year? The last time I checked, we've all got one. It's an annual event. And so we have our church birthday. It'll be the last Sunday in September. And so this year it's September 24th. And so what we do is we just take a Sunday to celebrate that we made it another year. I'll tell you guys a quick, funny, and kind of morbid story. Shelley and I and Tavian, my son, we were at Telly's last night. How many of you love Mexican food? Like, I'm convinced that heaven will be filled with tortillas and tacos and tortas, the good stuff. And so we were at Telly's last night, and there was a group of people, about 8, maybe 10 people, and they were all pushing 80, maybe north of 80. Shelly's going to say 90. All right. So they were old. Like, Moses was friends with them. And so you hear, after we'd been there for a few minutes, kind of faintly in the background, you hear them singing, "Happy Birthday." And Shelly, morbid, right? She's like, they're really celebrating because, you know, you just don't know if you're going to get another one. And I was like, you know, as morbid as that is, I kind of think it's important for us as a church to, hey, it really is a big deal that you make it another year, because, you know, there are a lot of churches that don't do that. They don't survive another year and things happen. And so, and the fact that I'm the pastor and we're still here for another year, that's pretty impressive. So we celebrate. So that's the first thing, is we're kind of gearing up for our birthday party. But more importantly than that, we want to take a few weeks here and just kind of highlight one of the elements, the characters of God's nature. I think what happens sometimes is God kind of gets pinned and pointed as this, you know, angry cosmic killjoy. Some of us, maybe depending on how you grew up and what kind of church you went to, or, you know, maybe what your parents told you about God, like, maybe you still have these lingering beliefs that God's mad at you and he's just kind of waiting to strike you down the second you screw up. Right. And so what happens is that creates all kinds of issues, which, you know, we'll talk about. So many people, they just view God as this joyless, fun-killing rule enforcer. And depending on how you grew up, you may still wrestle with those thoughts and still think about those things. And so we just want to talk about the celebratory nature of God. And this is the thing. I want to be fair about this. There is so much beauty and importance in balance, right? You can be a nut job both ways. You can go so far one way with this that you kind of, look, God is not frolicking in fields of dandelions and riding on rainbows, right? And the people that talk about, they only talk about God's love, you are missing other portions of God's character. God, he has a very wide range of emotions, just like us. We are created in his image. And I experience the gamut of emotions every single day, right? You have these, like, highs. You have these lows. I get happy. My kids do stupid stuff. I get mad, right? Like, you experience all of this stuff. And God has all of these emotions. So to heavily or only emphasize one aspect of his character is to do him injustice. And so we want to talk about the fullness of God's character. And one of the parts that gets left out is his celebratory nature. God is not, he's not afraid to throw a good party. And last week we talked about how God doesn't just tolerate you, he celebrates you. And so because we are made in his image, we all experience these wide ranges of emotions. So that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. The title is Created to Celebrate. And some people do a better job of this than other people. We use the expression life of the party. Those are people who have tapped into the idea that, hey, I am here to celebrate, right? Like, my life is about a celebration, and they experience and exhibit such joy and happiness, and you kind of get envious of them, and you wonder what's wrong with them, because, like, you can't be that happy all the time, right? And so God, he likes to celebrate, and I think that we should also take some time once in a while to celebrate. And you don't have to be like a poser about it. I always give cheerleaders a hard time because they got the permagrin thing going on, and it's not real. Like, that's not what we're saying. We're not saying you fake it till you make it, or you put on your fake smile and act like everything's good when it's not. But you also do need to take some time to celebrate. So that's where we're kind of going with this. Last week, we looked at a very well-known story that Jesus told, and it's called the story of the prodigal son. And so you kind of, when you read this story, you see that it puts God's celebratory nature on exhibition. It's an exhibition of his nature. And you get to see it highlighted. And you see how he didn't just tolerate this son who had made all kinds of mistakes. Because in our minds, we only celebrate people who have it together, right? The way I do things, I don't know about you, this is probably not a struggle that you have. But for me, like, I have more of a tendency to celebrate people who are killing it and doing the right thing, and don't mess up, and don't do stupid things towards me, right? It's really hard for me to celebrate people who are doing dumb things, especially when they affect me. But God's a little bit better than that. He's a whole lot better than that, right? He celebrates someone, in this case, the son, who had messed up a lot of stuff. And so what we're going to do is we're going to pick up this story back up, or we're going to pick it back up where we left off last week. And so there's more to the story. We stopped short. We didn't finish the story last week. There's more to the story, and there's also more for us to learn. Where we left off last week, there was a character that hadn't been fully introduced yet. And what's funny is we don't really know much in the way of a name. They just call him the other son. And so we're going to call him Otto, because it's like the other Otto. That's the best. I couldn't think of another name that started with O-T. O-T. So, or we could call him O-T, but I'm going to do Otto because that's what my notes say, right? So Otto is the other son. And here's the thing about the other son. The other son, now his brother was lost and had been found, right? His brother was gone. And as far as they knew, he was dead. I mean, they had no idea what would come of the other son, his son, the prodigal son. And so he comes home and his brother, the other son, Otto, could care less. Like, his celebrate is broke. His celebration game, it ain't working, right? Have you guys seen Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs? Anybody? Yeah, all right. So I think it's part two. And the little monkey, Steve, right? He pushes the celebrate button on the party in a box and, like, right? Like, his button was broke. The other son, Otto, his button was broke. If you don't know what that is, you don't know what that is, right? You're like, what is this nut job talking about? But for those of you that have seen it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Steve. All right. So we're going to look at this story and kind of see how it applies to us and how it translates to us. So Luke chapter 15, verses 22 through 31. And the last few of these are where we left off last week, and then we'll finish out the story. The father said to his slaves, quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put it on the prodigal son who had come home. And put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to celebrate. Right? That's where we left off last week. That's where we talked about God celebrate you. He doesn't just tolerate you, right? The son had messed up a lot of stuff. He had squandered his entire inheritance. He had brought shame on his father's name, and the father still accepted him back and celebrated him. And so this is where Otto is introduced. Now, his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. I get this visual. Like, he's walking in from the fields, and all he hears is right, disco and lights and crazy DJs and stuff. I thought that was a lot funnier than you guys did. That's cool. That's fun. And so he summoned the other son, Otto. He summoned one of the servants, and he began inquiring what these things could be. He's like, what the heck is going on here? Like, you know, I'm walking up, and I hear, you know this music bumping in the background. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. Now, I don't know, you know, what your relationship is like with your siblings, but you should, ideally, right, you should love your siblings. And if they were gone and you thought that they were gone forever, potentially or possibly, and maybe who knows what kind of harm had come upon them, and they come back, you should probably celebrate, right? Not Otto, but he became angry. And he was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began pleading with him. And he answered his father, and he said to his father, look, for so many years I have been serving you, and I have never neglected a command of yours, and yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. You know what he sounds like? He sounds like a lot of church folk that I know. I'm just going to be honest with you, right? Like, he sounds like a lot of church folk that church folk. Be careful. When you got a mic, you got to be careful, right? Sounds like a lot of church folk that I know, because they have a really hard time celebrating when God does something good in somebody else's life, because they want to focus on is how awesome they are and how good they're doing. We'll talk about that stuff more later. You guys, y'all getting me out of sorts here, right? So when this son of yours, this is Otto telling his dad all the reasons that he's not celebrating his brother. When this son of yours, he didn't call him his brother, right? I think it's important to pick up on these things. He didn't say, when my brother came back, he's like, no. When this son of yours came back, right? The son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes. You killed the fattened calf for him. And this is what the father said to Otto. He said, son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours, you see how he remakes that connection? Ooh. This brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, and was lost and has been found. And here's what's crazy. Like, that's the end of the story. That's all we get. That's all that we know of Otto. And we don't really know what happens, what he does with that information, if he responds well or if he responds like a bunch of church folk respond today. We don't know. We don't know how he responds. But I think there are some things that we can learn from Otto and his struggling with celebrating his brother. And he was upset at his father, that his father would take the time and put forth the effort and energy to celebrate this loser who had, you know, just wasted. The word prodigal we talked about last week means extravagantly wasteful. Like, he took all of the inheritance that his father had given him, and he extravagantly wasted it, apparently, on wild living and prostitutes and all kinds of crazy stuff. And so he was mad. Otto was mad that his father was celebrating this loser who had embarrassed his family, caused his father. Because who's there when he's gone? Otto's there, and he sees his father weeping because his son is gone. And so he's like, can you imagine? I think the emotion is a normal response, right? Like, when you see somebody you care about hurting, like, it hurts you. And so I'm sure he's going over in his mind over and over, like, ooh, if I ever see him again, right? That's what I would have done if I were Otto. You guys wouldn't do that because you're a little more mature than I am. So he kind of had all of his time to think about what his response would be, and he was just upset about it. And I think there are some things that we can learn from this that will help us to celebrate better. I think that Otto struggled with some things that kept him from celebrating like he was supposed to. And so the first one is this. People are greater than possessions. People are greater than possessions. I think the first reason that Otto had such a difficult time celebrating is that he placed a lot more value on the wrong things. His perspective was all whack. It was messed up. It was out of sorts. He was more concerned, and he even took the time to state it. He was more concerned with what his brother had lost than he was that his brother was lost, right? He was more concerned that he had squandered money, which is dumb, which is gone. You don't get to take it with you, right? We know this stuff. And he had put more emphasis on possessions than he did on people. He was more worried about what his brother had lost than he was that his brother was lost. He couldn't get past all the money that he squandered. His focus was on material things rather than people, and he seems to have forgotten that people are more important than possessions. And this is an extreme example, right? Like, you know, clearly it takes it to the extreme so that we understand fully what's going on. But if we're not careful, we can fall to this kind of stupid line of thinking. We can fall into this errant perspective as well. And when we do, if it happens to you, it's going to steal your joy, and your celebrate game is going to be broke. You're going to find it really hard to celebrate people when you put more emphasis on things than you do on people, right? So we live in a world that makes this really easy to do. We are marketed to death with things that we didn't even know that we needed. How many of you guys have ever watched an infomercial, and by the end of it, you're like, where's my phone at? I don't know how I've made it 35 years without this. This is going to change my life, right? And then, if that wasn't enough, but wait, there's more, right? And so we're kind of marketed, like we're taught, we're conditioned to think that stuff really, really matters. And it doesn't, right? Because you know how this works. It's the same song and dance every time. Every time we get excited about something and we start to value something, that something, it brings joy for about a week. And then you're kind of over it, right? It's not as important as you thought it was. It didn't deserve the emphasis that you thought it did. People are more important than possessions. Things are fine. Like, we're not up here railing against that. I'm not telling you that you need to, like, make your own clothes and sleep only on a mattress. And, you know, we're not doing all the Quaker stuff or anything like that. Things are fine. As long as you remember that you're supposed to love people, not things. You're supposed to use things and not people. I'm going to say that one more time. How do you do it? Where's the rewind button? Right? You're supposed to love people. Don't love things. Like, you can like things a lot, but don't love things. And you're supposed to use things and not people. Right? And it's important to get that right. So when we start to put more emphasis on material things than people, it's going to become increasingly difficult to celebrate the accomplishments and successes of others. And it's going to be hard to celebrate your own successes because you internalize and you value the wrong things internally, right? Envy and jealousy will take the place of contentment and satisfaction because you're only comparing yourself to the next thing, right, which is always a moving target. And I think that's the first reason that Otto had a hard time celebrating the return of his brothers because he put all the emphasis on stuff. Like, he was only thinking about what his brother lost, not that his brother was lost, right? So don't value things more than you value people. People are greater than possessions. That's the first one. The second one is this. Otto fell into the comparison trap. And I know you guys would never do this. I know anybody that has any form of social media would never compare themselves to anyone else. And you would never take a lot of time to post the perfect picture to make yourself look a little bit better than somebody else who takes a godforsaken amount of time to find the right selfie at the right angle with the right lighting. And you got 37 pictures of the same picture, but you found the one that was just right. And you found that filter that was just right. And you would never, ever, ever compare yourself to anyone else like that. You guys would never do that. I'm talking about other churches and other church folk. That would never happen here, right? One other reason, you guys are ridiculous. One other reason that I think that Otto had such a difficult time celebrating is that he fell victim. He was prey to the comparison trap. He compared the way that he was living to the way that his brother was living, right? You get that? Like he makes it a point to tell his father, hey, this idiot has squandered all of your money that you gave him. Look how he's living. And then he points out, he's like, but hey, I've been here the whole time. Have you guys seen that? It's a Marshawn Lynch commercial. He's like, and he's in class, but he wasn't in class, but he came in class at the end. He's like, I've been here the whole time. And so he tells his dad, he's like, hey, I've been here the whole time. I've been doing everything you asked me to do. I follow all the rules. I follow curfew. You told me to be here at 10. I got here at 9:59. Right? I do everything right. And he started comparing his life to his brother's life. And here's the crazy thing about it. If you compared the two, there's no comparison. Right? His life was significantly better than his brother's. But you still create in yourself this inability to celebrate when you compare yourself to somebody else. Because that's not our baseline for comparison. Who gives a crap? God, that is so inappropriate. I can't believe you would say that in church. Who cares how other people are living? That's not your baseline. That's not the standard for your life. The standard for your life is God's word. That's what you need to compare yourself to. Don't compare yourself to somebody else because you'll always feel a little bit better than you are or a little bit worse than you are. Don't compare yourself to other people. It's a trap. He fell into this trap, and he essentially made it impossible to celebrate his brother. His comparison caused him to lose sight of what really mattered. And the same thing happens today. You know what? It amazes me that, you know, this story was told 2,000 years ago. And these same principles are still at work and at play in our lives today. We get so caught up sometimes in our own morality. Look at me. Look how I'm living, right? And we start comparing. Can you believe what he did? Can you believe what she said? Can you believe what she's wearing? All right, and we start comparing ourselves to other people. And that's not your job. Like, that's above your pay grade. That is way above your pay grade. And so when we get caught up in our own morality, if we're not careful, we'll almost enjoy it when other people make mistakes. Because what does that do? It makes us look a little bit better, right? We start to look like these super Christians, right, who don't make mistakes and don't mess up, and we got it all together. I am so quick to point out when somebody, for some god-awful reason, thinks that Shelly and I have this perfect life, I'm like, you are an idiot. I want them to know up front, like, it ain't like that, right? We got our own problems. We got our own issues, and it's a miracle that Shelly hadn't killed me yet. It's a miracle, right? Like, I'm looking for blow darts and stuff right now, like, every Sunday morning. That's why I use an iPad for a shield. I don't ever want anybody to think that we've got it all together, because, you know, we're still trying to figure this stuff out, too. And so when we start to parade ourselves around like Otto, like the other brother, and we're like, hey, look at me. Hey, Dad, look how I'm living. Look at all the things that I'm doing right. And you start to compare yourself to other people so that you feel better about yourself. That's just a trap, man, and you don't want to fall into that, because it will limit, or if not completely alleviate, your ability to celebrate. Not only celebrate other people, but to celebrate in your life, because you're only celebrating. This is your baseline for celebration is the failure of other people. That's not a celebration, right? That's morbid. You want to talk about morbid? That's morbid. So just like Otto, if we fall into this trap, we'll start to parade our self-righteous butts around thinking we're all that. And we're just not. We're just not, right? And I think you'll find it, again, insanely difficult to celebrate because you become competition-minded. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know if you grew up in this world where everyone gets a trophy. I did not, right? I have very few trophies in my collection, because not everybody got a trophy when I was a kid. And I see these kids today, and you walk into their room, and they've got 735 trophies, and they're not very athletic. And I'm like, how did you get all these trophies? And it's because they participated. Why does that make me so mad? Maybe it's just because, like, when I was a kid, I participated and I didn't get anything. And you got this chubby Joe over here that participates and he ain't very good and he's got 700 trophies. Dang. All right, so the point is that is completely unrelated. And that's my own frustration I'm just projecting onto you guys. If you're anything like me, you know it's like, no, you ain't getting no participation. No, you want a trophy? Win. So what happens when you grew up like I did and it's all about the competition, I don't know if maybe you kind of had this let-up mentality, but when we were playing football, we were told, like, it didn't matter if you were winning 60 to nothing. Our coaches, literally, they said, keep your foot on their necks, right? And so, you know, you're young and impressionable, and you're thinking literally, like, right? But you try to channel all that appropriately. And so this is what happens. When you start to think like this and you start to live like this and you start to compare yourself, you start to compete with other people. And then even if you're winning 60 to nothing and they have a small success, you become disappointed in the fact that they had a small success because it diminishes the way that you look, right? And you wanted the shutout. You wanted to win 60 to nothing, not 60 to 7. I'm just, you know, these twisted things that happen. It just leads to a miserable life of bitterness and loneliness. I don't know anybody. And if you're out there, you poor thing, right? I don't know anybody that enjoys or intentionally, like, sets out to hang out with people who compete with them, who try to look at only their failures and compare themselves to other people. I don't know people that like to hang out with people that secretly or not so secretly want you to fail. I like to hang out with people that kind of want me to win too, right? I like to hang out with people that they like to win and they also want me to win. And so it's like win, 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 right? Everybody wins. All he does is win, right? So I think we just instinctively want to hang out with people that celebrate with us. Romans chapter 12 says it like this. It says in verse 15, it says to rejoice with those who rejoice. And then it says, mourn with those who mourn. And here's what's crazy. You'll never get to that place if you're competition-minded. You'll never celebrate the touchdown that somebody else scores if all you're worried about is yourself and how many points you've got. You'll never celebrate a victory in somebody else's life if you're only concerned with yourself and your victories. You'll never be able to stoop down and take time to celebrate or to mourn, I'm sorry, with somebody who's going through something or struggling with something. Because if you're living in the world of competition, you want them to mourn. But if you're living in the world of celebration, you stoop down and you mourn with them when they are mourning. And it's just a completely different mindset, right? So we need to have a mindset of celebration. It's like celebration isn't all about confetti and parties and, right? I'm still working on that sound. It's also about being mature enough in yourself that you can get off your high horse every once in a while and go help somebody out. So that's the second one, is that, you know, we got to be careful not to fall into the comparison trap. The last one is this. And it's, I think Otto had a struggle. He had a hard time celebrating because he was too busy to celebrate. And does anybody else ever get frustrated with that word? I think if you could go out and like change some of the words that we use in society or eliminate words, busy would be probably the first one that I would eliminate. The last reason that I think Otto had such a difficult time celebrating his brother is because he was really concerned and consumed with himself. He was busy, right? A lot of people today, maybe they are busy, but so much of their busyness only revolves around them, right? So it's not busyness, it's just self-consumed is what it really is, but we don't want to call it what it is. So at one point in this story, it seems that Otto is more upset that he didn't get to have his own party. It's funny how you kind of read into these details a little bit. It's like, was he really concerned that his brother squandered his father's inheritance, or was he just mad that he didn't get to have his own party? He wanted to have his own little party so he could sing, "It's my party and I can cry if I want to." And so at one point in the story, it kind of points that out, that he wants to have his own party, and that's the reason that he's upset, rather than the alleged injustice of his brother squandering the inheritance. So this is what he said. He said to his father, "You have never given me a young goat." That's, I guess they ate goat. Cool. Although I do like, y'all like goat cheese? That white cheese? Woo! Lord, that's about the only good thing from a goat. "You have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends." And so, like, he kind of just points out, makes it clear to us that he's really just concerned with himself. He's not even mad necessarily that his brother's home and he's having a party. You know, the father's having a party for his brother. He's just kind of mad that he didn't get his own party. And he makes this thing all about him. And so he said, the father set him straight. He said to him, "Hey, you could have had a party anytime you wanted to. Everything that I have is yours. You have access to everything I've got. I've got cows. If you want some filet, you could have done that. You could have had that party. I've got this house. I got access to a DJ. You could have, right? Anything you wanted to do, you could have done because you're my son, and you have access. You have authority to take anything that I've got and use it for your own. You could have had a wild party." And I think the reason that Otto didn't have the party is because he was too busy. Right? This is funny. Look at this. It says in verse 25, this is where we're introduced to the other brother. And he says this: "His older son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing." Now, being in the field, this was his job. This was his work. This was the thing that he devoted himself to. And I think that he was so consumed with his work that he never took the time to party. He never took the time to celebrate. Y'all don't like hearing all that because, you know, Americans, by and large, work significantly. I have a friend who has visited Europe on several occasions, and they work like 30, 35 hours a week, and that's full time. Here, if you're not putting in 45 or 50, you're slacking. Right? Shelly showed me a meme the other day. It's so funny, and it's this guy that was concerned about, you know, he had just worked 45 hours. And then the meme was, "Oh, 45 hours. I remember my first part-time job." And we just live in a culture that emphasizes work and time and hours and putting it in and grinding. But if you don't take time to celebrate, you're going to miss out, just like Otto missed out. So here, he was in the field, and he was grinding, and he was working, and he was putting in his 60, right? And it came time that his brother came back, and so this is what happens. He approached the house, he heard music and dancing, And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. He was working in the field. He was taking care of business. He was being all serious and responsible and providing for his family, right? In fact, I think he was so busy that he couldn't even take the time himself to go check out what was going on, right? Think about this for a second. Like, he was so busy that he couldn't walk up to the house and see what was going on. He had to send somebody else to go find out what was taking place. And here's the thing. Because he was so busy, he never took the time to celebrate. And what can happen to us is exactly the same thing. We can get so busy that we don't take time to celebrate. We don't take time to enjoy the things that God has placed in our lives for us to enjoy, like relationships, right? When you're so busy and all you do is, like, man, when you talk to people and you ask them how they're doing, this will tell you a lot. Because if all they talk about in the next 3 to 5 minutes is how busy they are at work, and they never make mention of their spouse or their kids or hobbies or things that they enjoy, then it could just be that their perspective is all kinds of wrong, right? And they're emphasizing work when maybe you need to emphasize a little bit more, I don't know, your spouse and your kids, right? Have you guys ever noticed this? And man, I'm guilty of this sometimes. I value production over people. Guilty as charged. Now, you looking at me like I'm all crazy. You do the same thing. And this is what'll happen. I'll be busy one day, you know, and I tell myself, I'm like, man, I'm killing it, right? Getting all kinds of stuff, getting crap done. And you're feeling all accomplished. And I get to the end of the day, and I'm like, I didn't do a single thing for anybody else. Or the interactions that I had with people were short and snarky because I was busy. And what really matters, right? Are you going to be so busy that you can't celebrate other people and celebrate with other people and stop and take some time and have your own little party? Everything that he has is ours. Everything that he's placed in your life is for you to enjoy. He's given you these relationships. He's put people in your path for you to celebrate with them. And so here's the thing. Let's kind of make this practical really quick. Go to dinner with your freaking wife. Not that you guys wouldn't do that. Like, but, you know, we talked to Shelly and I. We love talking to couples because this is the comparison trap. We're like, oh, my. Shelly makes it really easy to be married to Shelly because she does. She's a hairstylist. And I don't know if you guys know this or not, but being a hairstylist is basically like being a licensed therapist. Like, girls, they sit in these chairs, and I don't know if there's, like some magical juju in those chairs. But the ladies that sit in the chairs, they just start telling everything that's going on in their life. And so Shelly has an opportunity to counsel and minister to people. And so here's what's funny about that. This is my takeaway. This is semi-serious. So she'll come home and she's so appreciative of me. And I'm like, I didn't do anything. But it's because all these other knuckleheads are out there screwing things up. Right? And it makes my job really easy. Here's the point. How did we get on that? Here's the point. The point is you need to take some time to celebrate the people that have been in your life, that God has placed in your life. I know how we got there. So take some time to spend some time with your spouse. We talk to couples all the time that haven't been on a date in months or years. And I'm like, you wonder why you hate each other. Because you don't take time to reconnect with each other. Like, it's so important. We do this every Friday night. We have a date night, except for last Friday because it's football season and we're trying to renegotiate. We're trying to renegotiate the schedule just a little bit. Oh, right? Yeah, I got you. So the point is every week we take time to spend some time with each other, to celebrate each other, to reconnect with each other. Because here's the thing. Like, we're all busy, right? You work. We all got our jobs. We all have responsibilities. And we got, you know, like, I'm a soccer dad, right? Not soccer, but football. And I'm like an Uber driver for kids. That's all I am. But I don't get paid. There's no tips. There's none of it, right? So you're just driving people around and you're just busy. And if you don't stop, if you don't slow down, you're going to have a hard time celebrating with the people that God has placed in your life. That means, let's make this really, really practical. Have some people over to your house. Hey, it's not cleaned up. Look, we know you're not that clean anyway, right? We know you're messy. We see your car. Like, stop. Let's stop fronting. Let's stop putting on a front and acting like we got it all together. Just invite somebody over to your messy house for dinner. The Cowboys play tonight. Invite somebody over. Mute. Hey, is there a mute button for this? Broke. the Cowboys play tonight. Invite somebody over to your house and have some meat, man. Cook some steak on the grill and celebrate with the people that God has placed in your life. Take some time to celebrate successes and milestones, right? When something good happens, don't get so busy. Like, because this is what a lot of us do is, like, when you accomplish a goal, you immediately start setting your sights on the next goal, and you don't stop and celebrate that goal, right? Celebrate the successes and milestones. Take some time to slow down and throw a good party every once in a while, just like the Father took some time, and he threw a good party for his son who was a mess up. He was a knucklehead. Just like God, we were created to celebrate. Let me pray for us. God, thank you so much for everything that you do for us. God, for your incredible love for us. God, that even though we don't have it all together, even though we make mistakes, just like the prodigal son, God, that you still celebrate us. And you don't just tolerate us, and you don't just put up with us, God, but you genuinely care for us. God, I pray that you would help us to take on the same mentality, that because we were created in your image, God, that we would take on this nature of celebrating with other people. God, mourning with those who mourn and rejoicing with those who rejoice. God, that we wouldn't fall trap to comparing ourselves to other people, that we wouldn't fall victim, God, to trying to make ourselves look better when other people mess up, when other people fail or make mistakes. But God, that we would only value the successes in other people for the sake that it benefits them, not how it affects us. God, I pray that you would help us, God, to not be so competition-minded, to not compare ourselves in that way. But God, help us to celebrate in our lives and in the lives of other people, the accomplishments that we achieve and the accomplishments that other people achieve. Help us, God, to remember that we are created to celebrate. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen.